kind of talk to the Lord and say, Lord, what is it that you want me to speak about? And in my life, you know, prayer is an important thing in all of our lives as Christians. But the Lord wanted me to talk about John 17. And when I came this morning and in Sunday school outside, we were studying John 17. So I know for sure that this is what the Lord wants us to talk about today. Ladies, you weren't there, so some of the stuff, the guys might have gotten it before. Ladies, you'll get the rest of it, or all of it. John 17, if you turn there for me, it's a prayer, and we're going to read it. I like to read the scriptures, because, you know, sometimes that's the only time some people will even go into the scriptures. And I'm not saying that about you here, saints, but there might be some folks that are haven't read their Bibles in a while and want to read John 17 in its entirety. It's only 26 verses, so bear with me. These words spake Jesus, and lifted up his eyes to heaven, and said, Father, the hour is come. Glorify thy Son, that thy Son also may glorify thee. As thou hast given him power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. And this is life eternal, that they may know thee, the only true God, and Jesus whom thou hast sent. I have glorified thee on the earth. I have finished the work which thou gavest me to do. And now, O Father, glorify thou me with thine own self, with the glory which I had with thee before the world was. I have manifested thy name unto the men thou gavest me out of the world. Thine they were, and thou gavest them to me. And they have kept thy word. Now they have known that all things whatsoever thou hast given me are of thee. For I have given unto them the word which thou gavest me, and they have received them, and have known surely that I came from thee, and they have believed that thou hast sent me. I pray for them. I pray not for the world, but for them that thou gavest me, for they are thine. And all mine are thine, and thine are mine, and I am glorified in them. And now I am no more in the world, but these are in the world, and I have come to thee. Holy Father, keep through thine own name those whom thou hast given me, that they may be one as we are. While I was with them in the world, I have kept them in thy name. Those thou gavest me, I have kept. And none of them is lost, but the son of perdition, that the scripture might be fulfilled. And now come I to thee, and these things I speak in the world, that they might have my joy fulfilled in themselves. I have given them thy word, and the world hath hated them, because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. I pray not that thou wouldest take them out of the world, but thou shouldest keep them from the evil. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. 18. As thou hast sent me into the world, even so have I sent them into the world. And for their sake I sanctify myself, that they also may be sanctified through the truth. Neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word, that they may be one, as thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. And the glory which thou gavest me, I have given them, that they may be one, even as we are one. I in them, thou in me, that they may be made perfect in one, and that the world may know that thou hast sent me, and have loved them as thou hast loved me. Father, I will that they also whom thou hast given me be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory, which thou hast given me, for thou lovest me before the foundation of the world. O righteous Father, the world hath not known thee, but I have known thee, and these have known that thou hast sent me. I have declared unto them thy name, and I will declare it, that the love wherein thou hast loved me may be in them, and I in them. Shall we pause for a moment of prayer? Blessed Heavenly Father, we are so grateful for the privilege that we have to open your word. We thank you that your word is light and life to us who believe. And Lord, we pray that you will truly bless your words to our hearts this morning. And may we, Lord, ever be challenged. And Lord, peradventure, there is anyone here today who do not know you as Lord and Savior, that they might come to know you, whom to know is life eternal. Bless not only this meeting, Lord, but wherever your name is being lifted up today. We pray, Lord, that you'll speak to your servants and that your name be glorified in all that we see or do. Hide your servant behind the cross now, giving you thanks in Jesus' name. Amen. The Lord's Prayer. You know, when I was a young man growing up, we learned what they call the Lord's Prayer, but actually that was the disciples' prayer. When they asked the Lord, teach us how to pray. This is actually truly the Lord's Prayer. And this prayer, as we discussed a little bit in our Bible study, is the most magnificent prayer recorded in the Bible. And there's quite a few good prayers recorded in the Bible. And I can go back and I can think about Jehoshaphat as he was praying when he was encamped around. And he reminded God of a few things. Well, the Lord Jesus Christ, in this prayer, and I believe somebody broke it down this morning, there's three aspects to it. The Lord Jesus Christ, first honoring his Father. And then he was talking about his glory. And then he prayed for his disciples. And then he prayed for those of us who would believe because of the message of the gospel. And so it was all inclusive. The Lord didn't leave anyone out. Jesus prayed concerning himself. And what Jesus said concerning himself was this. He says, Father, the hour is come. The time is right. Now is the time. And he said, glorify thy Son, that thy Son also may glorify thee. And we all know that when Jesus Christ was in the Garden of Gethsemane, or before, when he was there and when he was praying, until his sweat became as if it were drops of blood falling to the ground, what he prayed for was that, if it be possible, this hour would pass from him, that he would not have to face this hour. But he knew, he said, not my will, but thine will be done. And so he knew that he had to go through this hour. He knew he came for this hour. And he was prepared. And he asked the Lord to strengthen him. And he said here, glorify thy Son, that thy Son may glorify thee. Jesus, thank you. The Bible, as I said earlier, is filled with great prayers. You know, we are impressed with different prayers from different people. Solomon prayed in 1 Kings 8. Abraham prayed in Genesis 18. Moses prayed in Exodus 32. But this prayer is the most magnificent prayer recorded in Scriptures. And I spoke about Jehoshaphat. And Jehoshaphat is interesting because I want to talk about just a little bit about that. Because Jehoshaphat was in trouble. I mean, his city was surrounded by three different army. He was outnumbered. And instead of calling a meeting with his generals to develop strategies, what did he do? He called a prayer meeting and he brought everybody in. And sometimes when I think about that, why is it that our prayer meetings are so poorly attended? Everybody was there. And Jehoshaphat prayed and reminded God of a few things. And God wants us to remind him. God wants us to take our petitions and tell him about them. I was in Georgia when the violence occurred in Orlando. And I didn't have details. All I heard was that 50 people got killed and some more wounded. And the first thought that popped into my head, all those folks, when they left their house that evening, didn't realize that they would not go back. They didn't realize that they would be ushered from time to eternity in a moment. We who know the Lord Jesus Christ, we are assured that we have a place in eternity with him. We who know the Lord, we are assured that one day He'll come again and He'll take us home to be with Him. Whether we are in the body or whether we are in the grave. Because it said the trumpet of God will sound. The dead in Christ will rise. And we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Prayer. An important aspect of our lives as Christians. And my desire is to be more fervent, more actively praying. You know, sometimes people call you on the phone and or they may send you a message and say, can you pray for me? And you said, yes, I will. But we don't always do it right then and there, and sometimes we forget. But what if we, as Christians, start this new revolution? When somebody asks you to pray, well, let's pause right now and just whisper a word of prayer to the Lord together. How about we try that? See how that works out. Because sometimes that's all we need to do. You see, I remember when Peter was locked up, Peter was in jail. And the saints were praying for Peter. And as they were praying, they were still actively engaged in prayer meeting. The Lord said, Peter, come on, let's go. I'm going to take you back to your people. When Peter was at the door knocking, the little girl went to the door and saw Peter and came back and said, hey, Peter's at the door. I said, you're crazy. He's in jail. See, when we pray, do we actually believe that God is going to answer our prayer? Do we really believe it? Or do we pray as a matter of ritual? I believe that God is extremely powerful. And God said, until now, Jesus Christ said this, until now you've asked nothing in my name. Ask that you might receive, that your joy may be full. So do you want to experience full joy? Believe the Lord Jesus Christ and He will give you full joy. I'm going to break this passage down a little bit. We're going to talk about the seven petitions the Lord Jesus Christ put forth. And I know probably some of you are at the marks in your Bibles before because you've been through this passage. A very popular passage. One of my favorites actually in John 17. Because it helps me when I pray. So the first petition the Lord Jesus Christ put forward was that He says, glorify the Son, that the Son also may glorify thee. That's His first petition. Now remember, when Jesus Christ came to the earth, He had to veil His glory. He could not reveal His full glory because we would not be able to look upon Him. Because His glory was bright. We couldn't look at Him. The second petition the Lord Jesus Christ put before His Father is in verse 5. It says, and now, O Father, glorify Thou me with Thyself, with the glory which I had with Thee before the world was. So in other words, He's saying, listen, when I was in the beginning with You, creating the heaven and earth, glorify me with the glory that I had back then. And then He was thinking about us. Verse 11. He says, I'm no more in the world, but these are in the world. I come to thee, Holy Father, keep through thine name those who thou give me. So that's the third petition. He's praying for us that we be kept. And there's a second part to that in verse 15. I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world, but thou shouldest keep them from the evil one. The King James says evil, but a lot of translations says evil one. Keep them from the evil or from the evil one. Verse 17. Sanctify them. The Lord Jesus Christ is praying for our sanctification. That's the fourth petition that He prayed. Sanctify them through Thy truth. Thy word is truth. The fifth, verse 21. That they may be one as Thou, Father, and me. And this is the one that I like a lot. I like this one a lot because the Lord Jesus Christ is praying for unity. And as we're looking around in our churches today, there are some discord that comes from time to time. And the Lord mentioned this several times in that prayer, that they be one as we are one, that they be one as we are one, as they be one as we are one. Why did the Lord mention it so many times? Because it's important. It's important for us to be united together as believers, as the body of Christ. That they may be one, as thou Father in me and I in thee, that they may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. That's the sixth one, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. And the seventh and final petition the Lord Jesus Christ laid out in this prayer, Father, I will that day also whom thou hast given me be with me where I am. He is praying for our final resting place, where we'll be in heaven with him forever and ever, that we be with him. Now, in the first part of the book, I suggested as part of our Bible study, when Jesus Christ prayed in the first couple of verses, he said, he spoke of himself in the third person. He says, glorify thy son. He didn't say glorify me. He said, glorify thy son, that thy son also may glorify thee. But he transitioned down in verse 4. We're going to talk about the nine high abs because Jesus Christ is declaring himself as the Son of God. In verse 4, he says, I have glorified thee on the earth. I have finished the work which thou gavest me. I have. Jesus Christ is telling the world now that I am the Son of God, the one that was in the beginning, that when God says, let us make man, I was there. God the Son, glorifying, declaring that he is the Son of God. Verse 6 says, I have manifested thy name unto the men which thou gavest me. Now remember this. Jesus Christ himself declared, he says, all the Father give to me will come to me, and him that come I will in no wise cast out. So we were giving to the Lord Jesus Christ by the Father. The Lord called us, and that's the only way we can come. But if you come, you will not be cast out. Verse 8 says, I have given unto them the word which thou gavest me. And I want us to notice something here. Everything the Lord Jesus Christ say here, what you, Father, directed me to do, what you have given me to do. So, we as children of God, we have a responsibility to pray. Did you know that it was a responsibility to pray? It's a very good responsibility. Because guess what? Doesn't matter what your political views are. The Bible declares that we should pray for our leaders. Pray for our leaders. And it's not just a casual thrown in there in Scripture, pray for your leaders. The Lord wants us to pray for them. The Lord wants us to labor in prayer for them. So it's our responsibility to pray for those that are in authority over us. When was the last time you prayed for your president? When was the last time you prayed for your governor? When was the last time you prayed for your city council people, or your mayors, or all those folks? When was the last time you prayed for those folks? If you're not praying for them, believe me, they're in trouble. They're in trouble. Our country is in a moral decay, and it started a long time ago. And it's continued to happen, and more things are decaying morally. Because what? Christians are probably not praying for their leaders. And so their leaders are being controlled by those who are not godly people. And so we get these things that are happening in our world. Last Sunday, I had the opportunity to preach at Grace Chapel, and we spoke on the wrath of God. And we see things that are happening in our world, and I say this, that it's an exciting time to be a Christian. Because of all the things that are happening in our world, we realize it's pointing towards the coming of Christ. And it would be great for us to wake up one morning, or even in the middle of the night, I don't really care, and to hear a trumpet. and the walls just give way. The roof give way. And we're caught up. You see, when the trumpet sounds, we're not going to walk outside and expect to be caught up. We're going to be caught up. We're not going to walk outside. We're driving down the road in a car. We're not going to turn the car off or get out of the car and be caught up. In a moment, in the twinkle of an eye, we will be changed. I don't know about you, but I'm excited of the prospect of being at the feet of Jesus to worship Him forever and ever. But in the meantime, we have to pray. We have to pray earnestly. We have to spend more time. And that is my desire, that I be able to spend more time before the Lord praying for those things that are happening in our world. Praying for my brothers and sisters who do not know Christ as Savior. Praying for my friends who do not know Him. And living a life so that they can see Christ in me. But it starts with prayer. It starts with prayer. The Bible says the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Why do you think the world comes to you and asks you to pray? Because they know that you believe. And they know there is a God even though they don't believe in God. When something tragic happened, you hear everybody say, pray for the families. But do they really believe in that God that they're talking about to pray to? In verse 12, Jesus Christ declared, I have kept, lost but one. I have kept them. You gave me 12, I have kept them. Save the one, the son of perdition, that the scripture might be fulfilled. Verse 14, he says, I have given them thy word. In John 1, verse 1, it says, in the beginning was the word, speaking of Jesus Christ. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The Word is important. I have given them thy Word. And the world had hated them because the world hate me. In Acts chapter 12 and verse 5, talked about that earlier as they were praying. When Peter knocked on the door, they said, Peter's in jail. No, Peter's in jail. What are you talking about? No, he's outside. He really is outside. Imagine that little girl. When we pray, we believe God that He's going to give us what we pray for. Our world is dying, brothers and sisters. People are walking away from God, is decaying morally. Jesus Christ, in this passage, spoke 7 times about His Father giving Him His disciples. 7 times He said, let's take a look at the verses. 17:2, He says, Thou hast given him, as many as thou hast given him. Verse 6, thou gavest me out of the world. Thou gavest me, them to me. Verse 9, he says, thou hast given me. So it's important that we recognize that we are given to the Lord Jesus Christ by the Father. It's a special relationship. A special relationship. Young couples, I always encourage them when I counsel with them. In your relationship, in order for it to grow, you have to do something. You can't just sit down and expect that your relationship is going to blossom. Just as if you plant something outside and you don't put any water on it, it's going to die. It's going to die. You're going to have to water it. You're going to have to treat it right. My sister-in-law likes to talk to her plants. How are you doing today? You know, that's okay. We have to treat our relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ very seriously. We're not just saved to sit down. We are saved. We are called to service. But I caution you, as I say that, we are called to service, but we should not be so service-oriented that we forget the relationship with Christ. Because we can be so caught up doing God's work that we forget to spend time with Him. I want you to think about that for a moment. Because many of you, sometimes you are caught up in that situation. You're so busy doing God's work that you forget to spend time with Him. The most important thing is quality time. Think about Jesus for a second. Before any major event, before anything at all, really, to be honest with you, He would always take a moment to look up to the Lord. You know, he prayed so long one time, he missed a boat. That he had to walk in water to get on the other side. Because he was talking to his Father. It was quality time. He said, go ahead, I'll catch up. I got to talk to the Father. So he wondered why Jesus Christ was able to live amongst men yet without sin. Because he was constantly plugged in to the Father. He was constantly getting guidance and direction. Well, here's a revolutionary idea. If we stay plugged in, we can have the same effect. We can change our world. And don't you think our world needs a little bit of changing? I mean, when we imagine the things that are happening, when we think about it, just in our back door, 49 killed. It's a warning to us as a nation. It's a warning to us as a nation that we need to return to that place where we believe in God we trust. You know, I was talking to someone today, and I'm in the military in the reserves, and I heard an announcement recently that have brought me to a place where I am done. I'm finished. I'm going to retire as soon as I get my 20-year letter. I'm going to walk away because there's so many moral decay in the military now that it's a shame. And I don't know that I want to be associated with that anymore. And that's why I'm going to walk away. In my job, my full-time job, I have the opportunity from time to time to witness to people. And I know that maybe in my department it might be frowned upon. But you know, if somebody opens the door, I'm going to walk in it. If you invite me in your house and you open and there's a conversation, there's an opening for me to share the gospel with you, I'm going to share the gospel with you. Because that is what I'm called to do. First, I'm called to be a servant of God. The job is secondary. That is my job. I remember one lady one time, I had an opportunity and she was talking about some things. I said, can I pray with you? She said, sure. I said, okay. And I prayed with her right then and there. My partner was like, she was wondering, am I going to get in trouble? Honestly, if the Spirit of the Lord leads me to do something, I'm going to do it. And that's just the way it is. But we have a responsibility to our neighbors and to our friends. We need to share the gospel. We share the love of Christ with them. Jesus Christ was in deep contrition as he prayed this prayer. He covered every basis. I'm going to leave you with something. I want you to... My time is almost up. Just about 5 more minutes. We'll probably close with a hymn too. But I'm going to leave you with something. As you contemplate your life and your prayer life, I want to leave you with this acronym. It's called ACTS. And it speaks about adoration. The Lord Jesus Christ kind of gave us that. He was giving glory to the Father. So he was adoring Him, your God. When he taught his disciples to pray, He taught them that part of the prayer. He says, Our Father, which art in heaven, holy be thy name. And he is our God. And we ought to remember that he is holy and righteous. We ought not to forget that. You know, sometimes In the modern age, we tend not to look at God in the way that we should, reverently. He is God. He is the one who made us, and not we ourselves. Then we should bring our confessions before Him. You know, I confess for this country time and time again, because this country has sinned against God. And then we should be thankful. Because in spite of all of the turmoil in our country, we're still one of the best countries in the world. But let's not lose it by being complacent. Let us take time to get on our knees and to pray for this country. And that's where the last piece comes from, supplication. So it's adoration, confession, thanksgiving, and supplication. You know, I tell folks this all the time. I said, when you're feeling sad, it's very difficult for you to go before the Lord in prayer, and that doesn't change. No matter how upset you are when you start, if you start to look at the many blessings that you have, even if you can't walk as fast as you used to, even if you can't run as fast as you used to, even if you can't remember every birthdays and every anniversaries, there's still plenty to be thankful for. Brothers and sisters, I challenge you and encourage you to look at your prayer life. Look at the things that are happening around the world and be excited about that, because we can share the gospel. When people are vulnerable, that's a good time to give them the gospel. Because then they'll realize that there is hope. We have the best news ever. Jesus died so that sinners might live. Sinners don't have to die in their sin because Jesus died. So let us share that gospel. Let us share that hope. And let us spend more time on our knees so that God will be glorified in all that we do. Let's close.